If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tommy Tiernan podcast. I've been listening to a lot of traditional Irish music lately, down in the hen house or hopping into the car for a drive around the town, and I put on a CD and it lifts my spirits. It's almost as if it teaches me how to be Irish. I know that's a queer thing to say, but I would have an image in my head of at the moment people being kind of formless, that we have no shape and we're looking for a way of being. They talk about the when the Israelites left, I don't know where the fuck they were now, this would have been towards the beginning of the Bible, around Moses or someplace, or just before Moses. I think they left Egypt or something, whatever the fuck they were doing in Egypt, God only knows. But they were in this place called the Desert of Zin, and it was a bleak, barren place. And I think, in a queer way, in terms of us knowing who we are or how to be Irish, I kind of feel as if we're in the bog of Zin at the minute. But trad almost gives me a code, gives me a way of approaching the world, and it's a happy way. Like, I listened to Kevin Burke. Kevin Burke is a fiddler who was more or less reared in England, I think, and then played in the Botty Band, although I'm not sure. I think he play in Planxty? I don't really know. He plays by himself anyway. And his music has it's the liveliest, swingiest. Now, there are other fiddlers I like as well. Sean Keane, who used to play with the Chieftains, by Jesus. Anytime I listen to a CD of his now, I start laughing. I start laughing because it's that brilliant. He's so good. And he seemed to have so many influences in the music, and he plays the music so fast. It just makes me kind of giggle with delight. I love Martin Hayes. Martin Hayes, you know, with the curly long hair, from East Clare. And he plays music from another fucking time zone altogether. His music it's dream music. And he was on the chat show one time, and he talked so beautifully about everything. No matter what, if he was talking about putting petrol into the car, he'd have a way of phrasing it that you'd almost fall in love with the moment that he was describing. And he came across as just as pure soul with a Clare accent. And I was talking to him after the show, and I said, he was kind of looking slightly forlorn, and I says, "Well, Martin, how are you?" And he went, "How are you?" And I says, "That was fucking brilliant." And he said, "I know, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the problem." And I says, "What do you mean?" And he says, it was too good. He said, "I came across too well." He said, "I need people to know that I'm also a bit of a bollocks." So when I'm in the car and I'm listening to Kevin Burke, whose music swings. It's almost like the music is so optimistic, so gay, so positive, that it's almost like a mood changer. It kind of gives me the ability, it instructs me in lightness. And that one of the odd things about it, I moved to Galway in 1988, and Galway back then, now it developed, you know, like in the 90s, it was porno parties and shit cocaine and ecstasy. But when I moved here in the late 1980s, it was a trad town. And we used to drink every Wednesday and Thursday night in the Crane Bar down the west. And the music, it was a strange thing looking back on it to have people in their late teens and early 20s mad for trad. But that's what we were. We'd go down, we'd have enough for 5 or 6 pints of porter, and we'd listen to bouzouki players and fiddle players and go down and loving getting deep into a session. I don't know if in other parts of the country they had the same thing, but there were music back then was almost like you could see the way of life that it gave people. Now you'd see older fellas in their 50s who'd maybe been playing sessions for 20 or 30 years, 20 and 30 years of getting paid in porter and small bits of money. And you could say, well, you know, you kind of pay a price for that in a sense, because you hit 50 and you're not driving around in a fancy BMW or maybe not even paying a mortgage. You're on some sort of long-term rental scheme. But for young fellas in their 20s who were getting into trad, you know, I was awful jealous of them. Like, I was courting this one from Canada one time, a fine looking bronzy dancer from Nova Scotia or someplace. But sure, I couldn't compete with the trad lads. Like, the trad lads had a van, and they'd take her off to Fanor or Doolin for a session. Sure, I couldn't. I couldn't fucking offer anything. Do you want to come back to the house and listen to me Bob Dylan tape? But these fast, uplifting tunes, where did they come from? Like, what part of us is that happy? Is that delighted at being alive? It's almost like, if you think that those tunes were composed probably in times of great oppression, times of great poverty, tunes that come from the 17, 1800s, fast and lively and upbeat. It's almost like rabbit music. It's almost like seeing a hare dot and sprint from one part of a field to another. It's almost like looking at a swallow in the sky and seeing him swoop left and swoop right. It's music that's almost a soundtrack from the animal mind, that even though we were barefoot and ankle deep in muck and poverty, when you put a musical instrument in our arms, we became these otherworldly sprinting creatures. Now, there's also very sad, lonesome music that comes from that time as well. And it is haunting, and you can't imagine anything more sorrowful. And it's almost like listening to the music gives me permission to be sad and sorrowful and not to feel guilty about it. You know, like I love Paddy Keenan. Paddy Keenan is this traveller man, and by jizz, when he plays the pipe fast, it's like a hurricane. It's like a nice hurricane. it's like beautiful speed moving through you. It's It's heavenly and fast and wild and unmannered. And when he plays a slow stuff on the flute, I mean, it's almost like our culture is saying that you can be both. You can be very sad and it's okay. I don't feel guilty about it. It's part of the shape of us. It's our condition. But the same with the fast stuff. It's okay to be giddy. It's okay to be daft. It's okay to have the swallow mind. It's okay to have the rabbit head in you. It's okay to be light and fun and gay. I spent years then buying CDs, and I have a huge collection of magnificent trad albums. Like, if I was to point you towards one, just to get you started, the Botti Band Live in Paris. Blow the head off you. But back when I moved to Galway, first of all, and I'd say for the first 10 years of my life here, I didn't own any trad albums because there was no need to own them. I could go down to the pub and listen to it. You know, I'd own a Bob Dylan tape or a Portishead album, you know, that you tried to get into. And the reason you buy that stuff is because you weren't likely to meet Bob Dylan or Portishead in Taylor's Bar of a Thursday afternoon. What do you have? Bob? What? A sherry? You're a queer fucker altogether, you are. The Portishead lads. What? Heroin. I'll see what I can do for you. But now that I don't get to go to sessions as much, I suppose I've had to buy the stuff to try and replicate the feeling. So I'm driving around the country in my fancy BMW now, listening to trad. I'm listening to great peasant music. And I mean peasant positively. I mean rags positively. I'm listening to the music of the people driving around in a fancy German car. I wouldn't know much about the different styles of music that there are in the country. My ear isn't that well tuned. I can notice that I prefer a certain fiddlers to other fiddlers, you know. And a friend of mine said one time, he was talking about the three Gaeltacht areas of the country, Donegal, Galway and Kerry. And he said each of them have a different kind of theme is the wrong word, but they have a different presence. He says Donegal is about magic. You know, Donegal is a place of mischief and hiding and odd airs and a strange kind of place where the people are people, but they're also, I mean, are they goats or birds or bushes as well as being human? And the music kind of, he was suggesting, would represent this. He said, Kerry music is about pride and the big chest. And, you know, you're in the kingdom now. And that their music has this kind of brodool in it, this kind of stoutness. And that Connemara music is about sadness, that there's a lot of sadness in Connemara and a lot of the Shanno singing, which is, I'm still trying. Just have me ears bent backwards and sideways and across me head trying to understand Shannos. I've tried, like, but I can't find the familiarity in it. I never know where I am when I'm listening to Shannos, where I am in the music. I can listen to stuff from North Africa. Do you remember the Tina Warren boys and the Desert Blues? And they come and they're wrapped in purple sheets and they got the dusty guitars full of full of dust. That's Native American, but I feel I can swing into that a lot better than I can into the Shannos, but I do make an effort. Trad went through a bad phase there just after Riverdance, because a lot of trad players, not a lot, some prominent trad players thought there's money to be made in this. And you can always tell bad trad. It's glossy. It has that kind of commercial TV3 kind of look to it, you know. Years ago, I was doing a show in Nashville and I went to the Museum of Country Music, and it was fascinating to watch the development of all these little video bits. And it basically started off with these toothless kind of butchering mental hillbillies sitting on the porch with their three legs and every hand at about 10 fingers and playing this wonderfully, again, lively, like people in the toughest of situations coming up with the liveliest of music. And then how it developed from that into a bit of rock and roll maybe, and then outlaw country music, you know, fellas in dungarees with tattoos on their faces boxing people and going to jail. And then in the 80s it kind of got commercial and it became glossy and shite. And the same type of thing happened to Irish trad, that I feel as if we're moving out of that now, thank God. There's still a trace of it, like, but we seem to be moving out of it. And like I said, I wouldn't know a fierce amount about it, really. I remember being on tour and falling into Waterford and going to a session down there and noticing that there was a difference between the music I was hearing way over there in the southeast. It was a lot more organised, and it was a lot more kind of prim and proper is the wrong word, but it didn't have the chaos of Galway music, you know. And I was reacting. I was going, fucking let loose, will you fly to fuck? But it was a bit more rigid, is probably too rigid a term, but it was kind of, you know, there was a tightness in it. Now, still fine playing, like, and those people could come to Galway and end up in a session and you'd ask them what it was like and they might say, well, it was fine, but it was a little bit all over the place. I remember listening to a fiddle player, I think his name was it something like McDara O'Rahala or something like that, anyway, from Mead, you know. And he has a live album recorded in a bar somewhere in Mead. The first track, I can't remember the name, but by Jesus, it's brilliant because you hear the clapping of the people. And I have an album as well by a fella called Cavan. That's his name. His name is K-A-V-A-N. And he's from Cavan, C-A-V-A-N. And this album is called Cavan from Cavan. And I met him one time and he says, he wanted to give us all Cavan names. So he said, he got away with me. He wanted to call me Sister Virginia, but my mother wouldn't let him. Virginia, you see, is also a small town in Cavan. And I said, so what's her name? And he goes, Belturbet. There would have been very little traditional Irish music in the house at home. We had a record player and only the one radio. So there was no, I wasn't exposed to the music back then. I do remember visiting my granny in Athlone and of a Sunday morning been taken down to Sean's bar and there'd been a bit of music there and feeling the warmth of it, the warmth of a packed pub, that lovely musty porter kind of camaraderie and listening to tunes. And as a young fella, grown up, I mean, I would have been too young to catch Horseslips and the way they took rock and roll and bounced into trad with that. I caught Christy Moore, you know, I caught Davy Spillane and Moving Hearts. And then I caught, thank God, we all caught the Pogues, like, and Sweet Sally McLennan. But then, and then the Waterboys, you know, with the Fisherman's Blues. But then coming to Galway, and back then, there would have been a core group of maybe 8 or 9, not successful in terms of the outside world looking at you and kind of going, geez, they're doing very well. But successful in the way that they kept something alive and thriving. 8 or 9 musicians who moved from Taff's to T. Coley's to Taylor's to the Crane. A Bowron player, a fiddle player, a mandolin player, a flute player. And they were Galway. Without them, Galway would have been just another town. But because of them, Galway was unique and magical. And it was those 8 or 9 fellas, and travelling musicians would come from all over the known world to sit down and play with them. Wasn't there a phenomenal session one time in Nocton's bar? Jeez, I wasn't at it now, but I heard about it. I was talking to Shannon about it. I think I remember this rightly now. It was the time that Adam Clayton sat in and played bass in Nocton's. And not only did the session last from 4 in the afternoon. Do you know them kind of things that just start off at 4 in the afternoon with one person, and before you know it, word gets around the streets and next thing says there could be 15 people playing at it. Not only did the session last from 4 in the afternoon till 2 or 3 in the morning, but Sharon told me, I think I'm remembering this right now, that one of the tunes lasted about 9 hours. But those 8 or 9 men, and like I said, not rewarded in any huge way financially, and the way we commemorate people nowadays, we name roundabouts or housing estates after them, bypasses and benches. But to me, they were Galway. That's it. This week, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you down the road. God bless and good luck. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.